Amen. Verse 5 of our scripture reading tonight is our text. Just that little question was asked at the end of it. How wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? How wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? I've been thinking over the past few weeks very much about crossing that river of death. As we all must do as we come to the end of life's journey. And it's no small part, of course we know that, because we've been meditating upon Pilgrim's Progress over the last few Sabbath days. And of course we've been thinking of the crossing, the home call of the late Dr. John Douglas. And we come back to Pilgrim's Progress before his famous characters, Christian and Hopeful, were to enter onto their final leg of the journey. They came to this wonderful place called Beulah Land. Beulah Land was just before the crossing. And Bunyan beautifully describes it as a place where the birds sang and where they saw the flowers appear on the earth and they heard the voice of the turtle dove in the land. It was just a place of rest. It was a place to gather strength. It was a place to prepare for the crossing. And here Bunyan describes within the sight of the city to which they were going, they met some of the shining ones, angels. Angels. Of course, the Bible teaches us that we meet angels unawares. It's an amazing thought to think that maybe this week you've met angels and you actually didn't know about it. But here in this Beulah Land, this part of the journey that's toward the end before we go into the river of death and we go through and we go over, we meet those who give us strength and encouragement along the way. As they dwelt in this land of Beulah, they had a perfect view of the city as they never had before. And they saw it was built of pearls and precious stones. And the street thereof was paved with gold. And I have learnt over the years in speaking to people as they come close to dying that they have clearer views of Christ. They have clearer views of heaven. They have clearer views of themselves. They have clearer views of their Saviour than they ever had at any other time of the journey. And they met at this part of the juncture a gardener who stood in the way. Remember how Mary Magdalene confused the Lord Jesus Christ with the gardener in John's Gospel chapter 20. And they asked him who owned these beautiful vineyards, who owned the gardens which had been planted in Beulah Land. And he said to him, they belong to the king. And the king planted them for the refreshments of weary pilgrims at the end of their journey. And they were being given the strength that they needed before they entered the river and before they crossed over to the other side, to the celestial city. And as they went on their way, they met further two men in raiment that shone like gold and their faces shone as light. These were the shining ones. And they told them that you've only two more difficulties before you reach the celestial city. And one of them was they had to go through the river of death. They had to go through the river Jordan. And they warned them, there's no bridge over it. You have to go through it. And Christian and Hopeful began to question them, well, is there no other way? Could we not get to the celestial city some other way? And the two shining ones told them that since the foundation of the world, there is another way. But only two men were ever allowed to use that other way. Men by the name of Elijah and men by the name of Enoch, who were translated direct to glory. And so the pilgrims, when they heard that, they began to despair, especially Christian. And he asked about the depth of the river. And is it the same depth throughout? Because it looked very deep. And they're told, no, it isn't the same depth throughout. But they were not given any further help on the matter. And the shining ones told them, you shall find it deeper or shallower as you believe the king of the place. Not an amazing statement. Death for some is more than death for others as they believe the king of the place. And they put the question to them. And the question is put to you and to me again tonight. In Jeremiah chapter 12 and verse 5, when you come to the crossing of the river of Jordan, this river of death, how will you do in it? How will you get across it? There's no bridge over it. There's no ferry over it. There's no boat that can take you across it. You have to go into it. And you have to go through it. And you have to go alone. How will you do? Alexander White, in his wonderful book, I commend it to you, on his characters of in Pilgrim's Progress, when he was describing the river of death, he said his readers were all voluntary spectators. But the time would soon come where they would have to be compulsory performers. You're just voluntary here tonight. No one forced you to come to the meeting. Voluntarily, you're here. But one day, very soon, perhaps sooner than you could ever imagine, it's compulsory for you to be at that river and for you to enter in and for you to cross through. Now, how will you do? How will you do when you come to die? What a question. What a question to answer in our gathering. To help you get the answers to that question, I want to use Pilgrim's Progress a little tonight and illustrate what we mean, because we learn from those that go before us. I have been at the deathbed of some, and I've learnt so much. I've learnt more in those hours at the deathbed than I did in probably all of my years in theological study. There's things to learn at deathbeds. So we're going to look at some of these pilgrims. First of all, from Pilgrim's Progress and from their deathbed scenes. How did they cross over? Because they represent just the broad spectrum of those who profess the faith. Alexander White wrote a whole chapter on this particular part of the journey, and I borrowed from it unashamedly, and I commend it to your own study. Christian, when he entered into the water, what happened to him? He started to sink. He cries out to Hopeful, "I'm sinking in the deep waters, and the breakers go over my head." Hopeful gives him encouragement, but it doesn't really help Christian, because he's overcome. The Bible uses that phrase with a great horror of darkness, and death is a great horror of darkness. And he's afraid he'll die in the river. He's afraid he'll never enter into the gates of the celestial city. And he doesn't remember now the events of his pilgrimage, but just all the troublesome thoughts and sins that he's committed in his life. And they come up all against him. It's said we relive our lives just in that moment before we die, and they all come against him. Hopeful holds Christian's head above the water, and with great difficulty, he endeavours to comfort him. He said, "I can see the gate of the city, and there are people there, and they're ready to welcome us." And then Christian cries out with a loud voice, "Oh, I see him again." And he tells me, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you." Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1 and 2. "And when you pass through the rivers, they'll not sweep you away." And he began to take hope, and he began to take encouragement, and he found, as his faith was enlarged and strengthened, that his feet now were on solid ground. He was no longer sinking. And he didn't need Hopeful to hold his head up any longer. I hope when I come to die, I've got a Hopeful there. I hope that my feet are on these promises that God gives to us in his own holy word. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1 and 2. "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee." The deepest waters that we'll all pass through is the river of death. And when we come to the river of death, how wilt thou do in it? How are you going to fare in it? It's not just old people that die, it's young people that die. If we could just get that into our minds and into our souls, there's not one in this building tonight that has any guarantee that they'll see the end of the day, never mind the start of another week, even next Sabbath day. How will you do in the swelling of Jordan? What a question. When they reach they eventually get through the river and reach the gates of the city, they read above the words, Blessed are those who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And they present their certificates. If you don't have your certificates, you'll not get in. This was their testimony. And when the certificates were presented, the king ordered that the gates were opened and that the righteous may enter in. And in they go. And they go in and they break forth in singing to him who sits on the throne. To the Lamb be praise and honour and glory and power forever and ever. Amen. They got through. Hopeful and Christian got through. And dear believer, I want to encourage you tonight. You'll get through. God will send a hopeful along just at the right time. Someone, even if you're sinking, to hold your head above the water. They'll give you the word of God, that you'll, the promises of God's word, that you'll be able by faith to put your feet upon and find solid ground. And you'll be able to see the gate of the city and the ones that are waiting for you on the other side. And you will enter in. You'll get through. Of course, Bunyan is a host of other characters. I just can't get away from them, and coming back to them, they've so intrigued my heart and so intrigued my mind over the past few days. When Christiana, his wife, in part two of Pilgrim's Progress, came to the end of her journey, she waited. She had to wait as her husband had done in the land of Beulah, and a post came from the other side of the river, a post from the city. And you know, there are angels who carry posts. And they carry messages from God himself that time has come and will be no more. And when the post came from the other side, it said, "Hail, good woman, I bring thee tidings that the Master calleth for thee and expecteth thee to stand in his presence in clothes of immortality with these 10 days. Oh, the precision of it. Down to the hour, down to the moment. Down to the day, the post will tell when you and I will have to cross over the river of death. And that day came quickly, and she came to cross, and it tells us many accompanied her to the river to see her over the river, but she had to go in alone. And you can have the room full of people all around your bedside or whatever the scenario might well be, but you will go alone. They can be with you at the river's edge, but they cannot go into the river with you." Bunyan described how she went down into the river and how she entered on the other side. And it says, with all of the ceremonies of joy that her husband had done before her. Of joy. Of joy. I thought when I read those words of Paul's words in Acts chapter 20, verse 24, when he was speaking to the elders at Ephesus. He said, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy." And brethren and sisters, we want to finish with joy. I don't want to finish bitter and all snarled up and all critical. I want to finish it with joy. What a blessing to finish the course with joy. Joy at the glory that is ahead of us. Joy that all of eternity will unfold for us, but also joy in thinking of the goodness that is behind us, because we can say goodness and mercy has followed us all the days of our life, and now we're going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The joy of it, of what's behind, of what's in front of us. Joy. I want to finish my course with joy. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, when I was a young minister, he was my mentor. And he died of cancer. But as one of the greatest intellects of his day of the evangelical church, he was active right up to his closing days. I had to smile at it. He lost his voice because of the cancer that he died with. So they resorted to scribbling notes down to the family. And he scribbled one note down to cancel his newspaper from the 28th of February. He was so alert, and of course he was a medical doctor. And he knew his time had come to an end, and he knew that after the 28th of February, he wouldn't be able to read the paper again. And he died on the 1st of March, 1981. And one of the last notes to his family said this: Don't pray for healing. Don't try to hold me back from the glory. From the glory. How will you cross over? These ones who have gone before, they cross with joy. Lloyd Jones, he didn't want to be held back from the glory that was ahead of him. There's another wonderful character in Bunyan's allegory. He's called Mr. Fearing. And he came to the river, and he saw that there was no bridge. And he immediately feared that he was going to drown. Sometimes I can't identify all the time with Christian, with hopeful, but I can see Mr. Fearing in the mirror when I look into it. But instead of going through the water and the water drowning him, he found that the water was lower at this time than ever before. And he went over the text tells us, not over much above wet shod. You know, grace alleviates our fears. God and grace can alleviate our worst fears. I'll take you back to Isaiah 43 again. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. Doesn't matter how deep the waters are, if the Lord Jesus Christ is with you, you'll not be drowned in them. He'll take you through them, and he'll bring you to the other side. Another wonderful character in the book is called Mr. Ready to Halt. And again, I see Mr. Ready to Halt oftentimes. And he's that type of Christian, as it were, it just goes on crutches, and he has to be helped along, encouraged along, and every time, even to do the smallest work, he has to be encouraged just to take the next step along the way. And and as it were, he goes to heaven on crutches. Have you met Christians like that? Maybe you're the Christian that has the crutches tonight. Metaphorically speaking. When he came to the brink of the river of death, he said, "Now I shall have no more need of these crutches, since yonder are horses and chariots for me to ride on." God was going to take him over. Mr. Ready to Halt, when he came to the river, even on spiritual crutches, God took him over. God took him right over. Maybe you feel like that so often times. You're ready to halt, and maybe you're leaning on those spiritual crutches. Maybe you're leaning on some brother, some sister, some father, some mother, some son, some daughter, some friend. And they're your crutch. And they, as it were, have brought you here. But when you come to the river of death, there's no more crutches. We have a Mr. Feeble Mind. A Mr. Feeble Mind. As for Mr. Feeble Mind, he said, "I shall leave behind me my feeble mind, for I shall have no need of that in the place whither I go. And when I am gone, Mr. Valiant, I desire that you bury it in the dunghill." Not wonderful. All our feebleness is going to be buried in the dunghill, and we're going to get to the other side. And when he entered into the water, as the rest had to do, they heard his last words. And his last words were simply this: "Hold out the faith and patience. Be patient. The coming of the Lord draweth near." There were some others. There was a miss much afraid. And there was her aged father, Mr. Despondence. Miss much afraid had looked after her aged father. And he was a man given to despondency and to depression. And when they came to the river, death couldn't divide them. Miss Much Afraid had looked after her father, Mr. Despondency, for years. And they went together. And oftentimes that's the way. Maybe husband, wife, maybe father, son, father, daughter, whatever the relationship is. They're so close in the relationship this side. They go together, and the last words of the Father were farewell night and welcome day. And there's a day coming when we go through that river of death that we will by God's grace say farewell forever to the night and will welcome the eternal day. There's another old man, he was called Old Honest. He was a man who strove to live by the commandments of God. But he knew he couldn't get to heaven by living according just to the commandments of God. And it's also said he died according to the comforts of the gospel. He lived according to the commandments of God, but he died according to the comforts of the gospel. And good conscience met him at the river and helped him over. And his last words that were heard as he entered in was, "Grace reigns." You're not going to get to heaven by keeping the law. But as you journey through life, let the law be your guide and your code to live by. But when you come to die, you have to die according to the comforts of the gospel. And that alone will give you a good conscience. Maybe you battle with your conscience and maybe you battle with inner conflicts. Let me tell you, a good conscience can only be had by the comforts of the gospel applied. We have old Mr. Steadfast. And he was left standing when the others had to go through. He was left on the other side of the river the longest. And this was because his master could trust him best here. Others were taken away, but he could trust Steadfast. I thought of the late Dr. John Douglas. And so many of his own contemporaries were taken away, but he was left on this side of the river for many, many years, to his 91st year, preaching up to just a few weeks before the Lord called him home to glory. He was taken away from the evil to come, but he was left to stand the longest because God was able to trust him. And when he came to the river, Steadfast said, "I see myself now at the end of my journey. My toilsome days are all ended. And I'm going now to see the head that was crowned with thorns and that face that was spit upon for me. Take me," he said, "for I come to thee." At the graveside yesterday, Dr. Douglas, Reverend Kenny, preached a wonderful word on Paul's dying statement in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 onwards. He said, "Now I'm ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Let me ask you as we close tonight, are you ready to depart? Spiritually, are you ready to depart? That's the pivotal question this evening. When you come to that river of death, that river of Jordan, how are you going to fare in it? It's good to learn from all of these pilgrims who have gone before. And I'm sure some in your family, loved ones, neighbours, Christians that you've known who have passed on and ahead of you. There's a great host of witnesses that surround us and have passed on ahead. But how are you going to do? Samuel Rutherford said we all should take a look at death before it comes to our door. Well, if it knocked on your door this week, and you were called and the post came for you to cross over, are you ready? If you're not saved, you're not ready. If you're not saved, you're not prepared. If you're not saved, rather than cross to the celestial city, you're doomed and damned to hell for a lost eternity. The Lord Jesus invites you tonight to come to him. We're glad we're still living in the day of grace and gospel opportunity, and he invites you to come to him. And as you've heard the invitation, we pray that God will give you the grace to respond to it and to trust him.